And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. And I mean, this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. I'll tell you what, before I even jump right into home fries, let me take a call. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How are you, my brother?
I'm good. Enjoying the show. Great job today.
Thanks, man.
I had a thought today because it seems like in every way and by every metric, the mainstream conservative wage-earning taxpayers are being forced to not only acknowledge and accept sort of the whole LGBTQ agenda and policies and economic chicanery, but forced to celebrate it. And I think about how absurd that is. If you drew a really overly simplistic analogy to Alabama sports, what if in Alabama, Bama fans were forced to, by social pressure and even economic law, to not only acknowledge the goodness of Auburn football, but celebrate it openly and support it and crow at the top of their lungs how awesome and wonderful and inclusive we are by saying that Auburn is a better team than Bama. Can you imagine that? I mean, how counterintuitive to, I don't know, common sense and people's own code of what is right and wrong. That's kind of where we are, and that's the micro. But the macro, these idiots, they expect you to celebrate that which, in my case, in the case of transgenderism, I believe to be insanity. I believe it's mental illness. But I'm being forced to celebrate it, or I can be ostracized. If I was in the workforce, I could be fired, and my business could be destroyed. What a world, man. What a world.
You're absolutely right. And first of all, I do have to say, though, as an Auburn fan, I take issue with your analogy. But nonetheless, I don't have a problem with celebrating. Boomer, I think you should laud Auburn's football team. You should.
You shall.
That's right. You shall, and you will enjoy it. Now, to your point, it's amazing how you're right. We are being just body slammed right now with the notion that it's not just about live and let live or allow someone to make their own decisions as an adult, but at the same time, we're being told we have to condone it, and you're right, even celebrate it. And that's where it gets galling. Christians don't go out there and say, you will be a Christian or else. I mean, that doesn't work. So I look at some of what's going on right now. You would think that 98% of the country was gay, but it's just amazing what a squeaky wheel they have.
Yeah, it is, and they're going to turn it.
Hey,
anyway,
by the way,
War
Eagle. Have a great day, Spark.
War Eagle.
All right, text lines are open. John from Huntsville says, home fries. I can already hear the bad boys sizzling, Phil. You're one step closer to an A+. So with that being said, batch of home fries. Cook them up. There we go. Cooking up a batch of home fries, things happening right here in your own backyard, just things you got to know because you live here, so you got to know. First of all, I did mention a moment ago in my monologue, so I won't belabor the point too much, but the story's out on AL.com if you want to see it. By the way, Boomer, all the resources are up, right? Yeah, so something for you to know is when you hear me rattling the paper, we have all these resources up where you can get them too if you want them. So if you hear me talk about an article, you're like, man, what was that about? Or I got to find that, or I want to send that to somebody. You go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and you go to the live stream page right above the video stream, which, Hans is already saying no video, you got to refresh, Hans, because it may have been in a weekend format, you know, for the time. But anyway, refresh it. It's working. But there's a resources button. All of these stories are linked right there by Dipper. So this one, Home Fries, Mike Kaysen from AL.com. Mike's a good guy. I know him. U.S. Supreme Court could decide soon whether Alabama's congressional map violates the Voting Rights Act. So the bottom line is the Supreme Court's going to make their ruling very soon. And it's going to be crazy. I mean, like where I live right now in Northeast Alabama, I am literally in this place where I live in the 4th Congressional District, Robert Adderholt, Congressman Adderholt. I live in the bottom corner of a piece of the 4th Congressional District, right next, I mean, like 5 minutes away from the, is that 3rd Congressional? Anyway, from Congressman Rogers' district, and just a few minutes away to the other side to Congressman Palmer's district. If they redraw the lines in my area, I'm going to be in another district. But what I'm saying is keep an eye out, because this could all, everything could change. Your next election cycle, you might be voting differently based upon what they find. And they did it, by the way, they drew the lines almost entirely the same as they've been since 1992. I mean, that's a while. So 1992, we're looking at 30 years. And yet, I remember when I was in the legislature and we redrew the lines in 2010, and we were told that we had gotten into packing and stacking, and you know, basically what they were saying, they cried racism. Well, what are the rules? So we had to redraw some lines. Now what they're claiming is it's not about where people live. It's about the demographic makeup of the state. The argument by the plaintiffs in that case is because black residents make up 27% of the population, that we should see 27% of the congressional districts drawn that way. I don't know how you do that, because you're required by law to draw them based upon where people live. You have to have X number of people per district. Like when I was in the state Senate, I had to have roughly, I think it's 130,000 people in my district. There were times when there'd be a street that was split just to make sure the numbers came out okay. All that to say, this ruling could come out very soon. It has major implications, not just on Alabama, but nationwide, and we'll see how it goes. Now, let's talk about some things that's happening or ain't happening down yonder in Montgomery. So Goat Hill, where our state house and state capitol are, down in Montgomery, there are several key bills, all of which have been focused on this show at some point in time, that have pretty much died on the vine. So what happened is last week, apparently, the legislature went past midnight on Thursday. They're given, if you didn't know this, it's kind of a crazy thing. They come into legislative session every year for the regular session. And I got to go back and look at my numbers, but I believe within a 105-day period, they're required to get something like 30 or 35 days of legislative time. Doesn't count committee days. It counts the days they go into the chamber for the purposes of, you know, enacting legislation. Here's the deal. If they're in the middle of a serious debate and it is ongoing and they're in a filibuster or something is like so close they got to stay on it and they go past midnight, technically they've lapped into a new day and we called it burning a day. They burned a day last week. So now they only have two legislative days left, which means it's impossible. It takes three full days to get through a body of the legislature. That means that there are some very important conservative bills that just died on the vine because they went past midnight last Thursday. And by the way, don't tell me they didn't know that. They were prepared to let these things die anyway. One of them is the Price Act, school choice. You know, we've had multiple times on the show. We've had State Representative Ernie Yarborough, State Senator Larry Stutz. We've had Becky Gerritsen from Eagle Forum all talking about the Price Act. And it was a landmark piece of school choice legislation. And the teachers union has had that thing stifled. Stifled. I mean, like, not a little bit, but stifled. Well, we're not going to see it this year. School choice died on the vine with that one. Another one. Talk about low-hanging fruit, man. Drag shows for kids. Why did that bill die? How easy is that for a Republican supermajority? House Bill 401 literally is not going to make it. Sponsored by State Representative Arnold Mooney, who's also been on the show. Good guy, very conservative in the state house. And that bill, all it does is it prohibits sexual conduct in public places where minors are present. Why is that a controversial bill? Who knows? It's dead. It's not going to make it through now. How about this one? We had State Senator Sam Gavan on just a couple weeks ago talking about his bill, Senate Bill 171, to change the way we pick our state health officer. You know, Scott Harris, the guy who most recently was appalled at the laws that prohibit transgender surgeries on minors, our state health officer, a doctor. And oh, by the way, he's also the guy that helped shut us down during the pandemic. So, yeah, why is he unaccountable? Why are we the only state in the nation that has a state health officer that is not picked by the governor or confirmed by the state Senate? Well, that bill died. Senate Bill 171 is now dead because of timing. How about this one? Just, was it, Boomer, when do we have state? It was this last week, last Tuesday. State Representative Susan DeBose has the What is a Woman Act. Why did that bill die? Why would we not go forward with enacting legislation to codify how Alabama law will define a woman so that we prevent having some kind of hanky-panky later on in the future with, you know, gerrymandering our laws and definitions? Well, it ain't going to happen. We had Senator DeBose, Representative DeBose on the show talking about her very bill, which apparently is now dead for time. And then the last one, the Divisive Concepts Bill. This is the one that the critics want to call the Don't Say Gay Bill. I mean, for the love. What it is saying that public entities, to include schools, cannot promote, endorse, or require affirmation of things that involve race, sex, or religion. Why is that a problem? So, anyway, those are several pieces of major legislation, all conservative, that a Republican supermajority just failed to get out when they could have gotten them done in like 5 days. I guarantee 6 days. 6 days, actually. So, yeah. One highlight, though, I will say this. One highlight is Governor Ivey just yesterday, story on Fox News. By the way, that last thing about the five bills that didn't pass, that was 1819 News. It's up on our resources. Fox News, national, has a picture of Kay Ivey, our governor, and it points out that she signed legislation yesterday, that prohibits transgenders from participating in female sports. There you go. So I think this is a great thing, and I appreciate the fact that Governor Ivey's comments were, look, if you're a biological male, you're not going to be competing in women's and girls' sports in Alabama. It's about fairness, plain and simple. And I'll tell you what was funny. Was she trolled ESPN? ESPN took issue with her this morning. And our governor's Twitter account trolled them hard. In fact, I said on it, I retweeted it and said, that's some next level trolling. So here's what. So ESPN says, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signs legislation that will ban transgender women from playing on female sports. And then lo and behold, she comes back and says, well, let me fix that, ESPN. Quote, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signed legislation that will ban biological men from playing on female sports teams. Good for her. Good for her. I got a couple of callers on the line. Let me do that real quick before I run out of time. Chris from Athens. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I love your show. Wanted to make this real quick.
Yeah.
I appreciate your service to our country, but I am embarrassed to be a conservative in the state of Alabama. I don't feel like our supermajority is any sort of supermajority. I just wanted your opinion on the fact that I personally feel that there are several quote-unquote conservatives in the legislative branch and the Senate. I'm not going to call out any names because I don't want to do that, but I feel like they're all in some sort of special interest back pocket, and a lot of them, even though they call themselves conservatives, are no more than Dixiecrats, so to speak.
Well, you know what?
I don't know if you. I just wanted your take on that, and I'll let you. I'll let you give your opinion. So I appreciate it, man. Thanks,
Chris from Athens. Thanks for the call, buddy. I mean, you are not wrong. I have said multiple times on this show, there's a vast difference between being a conservative and being a Republican. And Chris, you made the comment when you opened up. You said I'm embarrassed to be a conservative. Don't be. Be the conservative. We got to have more people like you in the mix, holding people accountable. So hang in there, brother. But I will say this: yes, there's a vast difference between being a Republican and being a conservative. And we've got some folks down there that run purple in their politics, unless they're campaigning, and then they're very conservative. Now we do have some good ones. I mean, we do. We have some great conservatives in our state house and Senate, and we need them to begin stepping up and even banding together. That's my hope. But I agree. There's some things that need to be done that could be done, and they're not being done, and there ain't no excuse. Let's go ahead and go to break right now. We'll take the break. I got another caller holding on the line. I'll get him as soon as I come back. But I did run long, so let's do that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. All right, I got somebody that held on, you know, through the break, and I sure appreciate that, so let me honor his time. Stephen Madison, how you doing?
What's up, Philip? What's going on?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
It's all good up here in North Alabama.
Well, good. What's on your mind?
Your previous caller kind of stole my thunder, but I'm going to ask you a more pointed question.
All right.
Of the elected Republicans in Montgomery, what percentage would you say are true conservative, and what percentage are Republican in name only to get elected in the state of Alabama?
Okay. Wow. Put me on the spot. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and say true conservatives, and if you count true conservative as somebody who would like fit into a Freedom Caucus type mode, somebody that conservative, I'm going to say 20 to 25% of the legislature, of the elected Republican legislature. If you were talking about conservative as in center right, I'm going to say more like 35%, but there's a whole lot of folks down there that go along to get along. There's a lot of folks down there that are squishy, and there's folks that are, too often influenced by the lobbying crew as opposed to what is right for their constituents. So it's a mixed bag, bro.
That is sure not enough to get the job done.
It's not. You know, and I'll tell you what else to do. It breaks down by topic, because sometimes it's going to be – you're going to find somebody extremely conservative on fiscal policy, but less so on abortion. Or you're going to find somebody extremely conservative on what I would call social policy, but not on fiscal. You know, they'll spend, but they'll be all about the issue of drag queens. You know, so trying to find somebody who is conservative across the board, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm literally labeling it in terms of the across-the-board perspective. But anyway, there you go, man.
That seems to be the way I read the tea leaves. And I would say one more add-on to your topic of unpassed legislation. If I hear the word grocery tax one more time out of Montgomery, I'm going to scream, because we've been hearing about it forever. And if they couldn't eliminate it this time and water it down to 1% every 2 years if we don't break the bank, blah, 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 I never want to hear the word grocery tax again out of Montgomery.
I tell you what, and we're going to find out here probably today or tomorrow if they whacked it in half right off the bat. And I think it may actually happen, but, Lord, I'm with you, Stephen. All right, hey, man, I got to go. I'm up against the hard time, so appreciate your call. Thanks for holding on. Hey, I will tell you guys, though, too, real quickly, as we wrap up the home fries, coming up next here in a minute, we're going to be talking with John Nolan and Missy Hanks, both from the Elm Foundation, in our next segment of the Triple Dipper, which we're calling A Hand Up. All right, two more stories on home fries. Hit me some home fries, Boomer. You got some home fries? Cook me up some home fries. There we go. First of all, this is interesting. So the group that calls itself the Patriot Front is being accused of having hacked road signs, construction road signs, those digital road signs, you know what I'm talking about? So they're being accused of hacking digital road signs and making them say things like Reclaim America. And so it's got all of the usual groups like Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League and the Council on Islamic Relations. All of them are up in arms claiming Patriot Front is putting racist. You know, first of all, I will say this. No one has claimed ownership of this, and Patriot Front did not give its name that I know of on this, but the words Reclaim America are scary, apparently. So anyway, but I just think it's crazy that somebody hacked a construction road sign. Lastly, I will tell you this. Alabama, according to Yellowhammer News, one of the states that is beating out everybody else for people wanting to move here. Because even though we get frustrated as conservatives when we think we can get more out of our Montgomery folks, the reality is I'd a whole lot rather live here than California. All right, folks, heading to the hard break. We'll be right back with the folks from the Elm Foundation, number two of the Triple Dipper. A Hand Up. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening.